Lecture topic, Alive Through Zika.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل الذي يذكر ربه والذي لا يذكر ربه مثل الحي والميت أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. The difference between life and death on a very basic level, without getting into deep definitions and so on, difference between life and death even a child understands. Many children, they understand what it means for somebody to have now passed away, that person is no more living, what that means. It means this person used to be around, he's not going to be around anymore. This person used to be walking and talking, that's not going to be possible anymore. We used to sit and eat with him, that's not going to happen anymore. The person has passed away, life has come to an end in terms of dunya. So now all the things that this person could do, he's not going to be able to do now. And what others will do is that they will hasten in burying him. And that is the teaching of deen in any case, that when a person has passed away, then without any undue delay, the mayyit should be, the rites should be fulfilled, whatever the various rites of the mayyit are, that should be fulfilled, and the person should be buried. But in any case, that is the reality. The person who's living, he can do a lot of things. He'll be seen walking, talking. If need be, he'll be running. If there's a need to defend himself, he can defend himself. If he has to take action about something, he can take action too. And he can apply his mind and faculties and maybe invent something. He can do numerous things that Allah Ta'ala has given him the ability to do. But provided there's life. As long as there's life, then all these things are possible. But as soon as that life goes away, then nothing. He can't talk, he can't walk, he can't defend himself. If somebody is attacking him, well, a lifeless person, nobody's going to attack. But just for the understanding, if somebody attacks, he's lifeless, what he's going to do? And he can't take any action to defend anybody around him. So we all understand, every child understands this difference between life and death. Now that is the message and that is the example that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us in one hadith sharif. That who is the person spiritually alive and what is spiritual death? So this was what we understood and what everybody understands and every child understands who's come to a certain age. Of what is physical death. Person physically alive and physical death. But spiritual life and spiritual death, sometimes people live their whole life. And a person reaches his maybe 70s and 80s, but many a person didn't realize he was spiritually dead. And his whole life finished off like that. So what is the difference between spiritually being alive and spiritually being dead? So this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described in one hadith sharif with regards to a very fundamental aspect, very basic aspect. But something that is sometimes not even given any consideration, or very, very minimal consideration. But this is how fundamental it is, that it is the difference between life and death. So in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ. The example of the person who remembers his Rabb, and the example of the person who does not remember his Rabb. So one person is Zakir, he's remembering Allah Ta'ala, and the other one is Ghafil, he's unmindful of Allah Ta'ala. So now this difference between the Zakir and the Ghafil. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The example of this is no different to the person who's living. The Zakir is like a living person, and the Ghafil is dead. He might be looking very alive, he might be able to jump very high, might be able to sprint at top speed, might be able to drive at breakneck speed, might be able to fly, but if he doesn't have the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala in his life, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes that he is dead. Now, physically, when there's death, physical death, so now what happens after physical death? As mentioned, there's a haste in now fulfilling what is required of us in terms of what Shariat has taught us to bury the person. But everybody has this haste also. Why? Because when the person has passed away, life has gone. So one is all movement will stop. The blood flow will stop. The oxygen has stopped, obviously. Everything has stopped. But then decay sets in. The body starts first, one odor will come through. People will start moving away. And then after that, sometime later, then the body will start decaying. And Allah forbid, what will become his condition. So when life goes, then rot sets in. That's the reality. That's the system Allah has created in dunya. In the grave, that was eventually happens, that body decays. The soul is still very much alive, but the body decays. So just as this physical death leads to rot, that's the system Allah has created in dunya, that ground will eat it up, eat the person up eventually. But this is the same thing to understand in terms of spiritual life, that in the absence of spiritual life, there'll be decay. There'll be rot. There might be rot in how the person's heart is, what it's engaged in. It'll be engaged in all kinds of rotten things. There might be rot in terms of what his eyes want to see. All kinds of filth. There might be rot coming from his tongue. Vulgarity, obscenity, evil talk, ghibat. Because there's a decay, spiritual death, to a level, if not entirely. But to the extent of that, like the foot now, Allah forbid, somebody's foot has become lifeless because of lack of circulation or whatever, the gangrene sets in. And then there's an odor might come, and whatever else might happen, they say, now to save the rest of the body, you've got to separate this, now amputate, because it's lifeless. When it's lifeless now, there's no circulation. So now all these problems are going to all set in. So now to the extent of that lack of life, to that extent there's going to be decay. And to the extent of the decay, then there's going to be odor, there's going to be all kinds of problems. So this is the message Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us, that to bring spiritual life in us, we have to have the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, there are many, many things that we give great importance to, which are important also. But sometimes we give very great importance to, for example, maybe some comparatively secondary things, whatever it might be. But zikr, we take it as even far behind. That, well, this is one of those things, very good, mashallah, but you don't do it too, also no problem. Like a person now, some luxurious food, very high quality luxurious food. So if he gets to eat it, very good, mashallah. And if he didn't eat it too, doesn't matter, he'll survive on the basics. The zikr is not on that level. That if you get it very good, and if you didn't have it too, no problem. No, there's a very big problem if there's an absence of zikr in the life of a person. But if we look in our lives, we consider, we ponder, then if a few days went past and there was no zikr of any sort, who does it really matter to in any way? That I didn't make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. One day when, 2 days when, 5 days, 1 week when, 1 month when. Maybe just in passing I did something here and there, but there was no dedicated time for zikr. So now this is regarded as such a secondary thing, that fine, very good if it's done, but it's not done too, no problem. Whereas a great deal of our problems are all stemming from the lack of zikr. As just mentioned now, the decay sets in, then the eyes are not in control, the tongue is not in control, the heart which is king is all gone haywire. Because when the remembrance of Allah is missing, then ghaflat sets in. Ghaflat is darkness. Now in this darkness, a person can't distinguish what is beneficial, what is harmful. So in darkness a person can't see the harm of the wrongs he's doing. In darkness he just goes headlong into anything, falls anywhere, because he can't see what's going on. When the heart is engulfed in ghaflat, because of the lack of the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, so a person, maybe in his mind he knows that this is a problem, this is a sin, but his heart is in darkness. So he is, despite knowing what is harmful, but he can't distinguish it. Falls into all the worst things. And then it brings such destruction in his life, in his akhirat. But that is the effect of the ghaflat. So many things we, mashallah, pay attention to. It's time that we have to pay attention to making time for zikr. On a dedicated time on a daily basis. Dedicating a slot, that this is a time to do nothing else but dedicated for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Till the zikr doesn't come alive, very difficult for everything else to come alive. This is the example Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us. The one who remembers Allah Ta'ala and the one who does not remember Allah Ta'ala, مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. Like a living person and a dead person. That's the difference. So now the question to myself and to ourselves, how much of time have I dedicated? Because we have dedicated time for many, many things. How much of time have I dedicated for the zikr of Allah Ta'ala? Undisturbed, no distractions. Just banda or khuda. Person between him and his Allah. How valuable is this zikr? So just to understand in the light of some ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the importance of it is right from the Quran Sharif in numerous ayat. But just to understand this in the light of some ahadith, that in the one hadith Sharif, which is about the zikr after salah. So the very well-known riwayat this is, the poor sahaba came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they complained, so to say in inverted commas, complained about what? Their complaint had nothing to do with dunya. If they were feeling like they were left out, it was because they might get left out in getting ahead in akhirat. As far as dunya, they didn't have any issue with this. So in any case, they came to complain in a sense that the wealthy sahaba, they also do all the a'mal that we do. We perform salah, we fast, we go out in jihad, we help people. They do all these things. So we also are doing it, they are also doing it. But then they are doing something which we can't do. They have wealth to spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala. We don't have that ability. Because we don't have. So now when we don't have that wealth, we can't spend. So as a result, they are surpassing us in gaining closeness to Allah Ta'ala. That was the complaint. Complaint in the sense that we are helpless in this now. How do we also get something going? Now this is such an important message and lesson in this, that where should our aspirations be? What should our heart be really aspiring? Generally our heart is all the time, if we don't have it, then we're imagining what we can have. In terms of what? In terms of dunya. Well, that person is driving this, when can I drive it also? That person is living it up in this manner, when can I live it up also? So it's all about dunya. So the person who has it, wants more of it. And at a, how he can update and upgrade. Person who doesn't have it too, is dreaming about it. But the sahaba, they are giving us this message and lesson. Whatever Allah has blessed us with ni'mat, we enjoy it. With the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, Allah has blessed us something, it's come in a halal way. That's Allah's ni'mat, make shukr upon it. But the heart must be aspiring to get close to Allah Ta'ala. The heart must be aspiring for akhirat. And how close our akhirat is, we have no idea. So now to change this mindset, to change this entire aspiration, and when the aspiration will change, then these trivial things of dunya won't bother us. These trivial things of dunya, Allah Ta'ala keep us with afiyat, Allah Ta'ala save us from calamities and difficulties. But that about I don't have what somebody else has, and I can't drive what somebody else is probably driving, and whatever other things of dunya we see around us, or just keep dreaming, that won't be the case. That will not give a person any kind of anxiety of any sort, any sleepless night, that he is losing out on some dunya. But what his heart will be aspiring for is akhirat. So now this, the sahaba came and they presented this. Now how do we also get ahead now? Because we're losing out, so to say. We're falling behind. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, I will teach you something. You practice on this. No matter what somebody might spend, they will not be able to achieve the reward that you get with this amal, with this action. What was the action? The action was reciting Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar 10 times each after every salah. Now Subhanallah 10 times, Alhamdulillah 10 times, and Allahu Akbar 10 times. How many seconds this will take? So it might take 30 seconds. Might take 30 seconds, and for 30 seconds, what is being promised? That no matter what somebody can spend, he can't achieve the reward that you... He'll get his reward for that, Alhamdulillah. But the reward he'll get for that will not be able to equate with the reward that you will get for this amal. Now this is the context in which we have to understand the virtue that is being explained. And for what is this virtue? For these tasbihat, glorifying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, expressing the greatness of Allah ta'ala, praising Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. How great is this? Subhanallah. It is beyond our imagination. But let us ask ourselves, what degree of importance we give when we are reciting this kalimat? If we are reciting it. But yet, what is this? Subhanallah, what is it? Many a times we have the good fortune and the good opportunity of attending a khatam of Bukhari Sharif. So the last hadith Sharif is then explained, recited and explained, that there are two statements very beloved to Allah Ta'ala, very light on the tongue, but very weighty on the scales of good deeds. And what are the two statements? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah. These two statements, very beloved to Allah Ta'ala. Meaning the person who recites it in abundance, he'll become beloved to Allah Ta'ala. And very weighty on the scales of good deeds. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah completes his kitab on this huge achievement of this kitab, and he's completing it on this hadith sharif, leaving us with this lesson, glorify Allah Ta'ala. And not just as a routine, not just something in passing, but in a manner that connects us to Allah Ta'ala. In a manner that fills our heart with the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. That truly expresses shukr, Alhamdulillah. From the recesses of the heart, expresses shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Now, right at the beginning, we discussed the difference between life and death. That zikr itself is the difference between the living and the dead. But now to bring that life in the zikr as well. In the tasbihat that we recite after salah. So in any case, the sahaba left very happy. After some time they came back. They said, well, we're still in the same position. What happened now? Since you taught us this amal, alhamdulillah, we started practicing on it. But gradually this news went out. So those who are wealthier, they are also practicing on this and they're still spending in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So they're still ahead of us. This was the zeal to get ahead in akhirat. To get ahead, to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. This was a healthy competition. It was not a manner of trying to leave somebody else behind. But I also want to be ahead. I want to be closer to Allah Ta'ala. Now we are always trying to be ahead in dunya. We're trying to now outsmart somebody else and do better than somebody else in dunya. But this is the zeal that is being taught to us to try and get ahead in deen. How often it occurred to us that that friend of mine, mashallah, he's doing something extra in terms of, mashallah, so much amal. I see him after salah, he's making nawafil as well. I see him making tilawat of the Quran Sharif. That person I see, mashallah, he's sacrificing so much and making effort of deen. All these things we see around us, alhamdulillah, how many times it occurred to us, I should try to compete with him, a healthy competition. Not to try to make somebody else be down, but a healthy, I should compete with him. For dunya, we have felt that many times. That now I need to also get something here. Deen. So in any case, they came back and presented this. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, you recite it 33 times each. Allahu Akbar 34 times. Nobody will be able to get to that reward that you will get. After some time, they came back. They left very happy, but came back. They said, well, they also learned this. So now obviously, this was not going to finish off anywhere. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam put it to them, that look, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءَ. That is the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Allah grants it to whom He wishes. Allah Ta'ala gave somebody wealth and gave him the tawfiq to spend it in a way that brings him closer to Allah Ta'ala. That's Allah Ta'ala's grace. And if you don't have that wealth, Allah will bless you in some other way. So the point is that this aspiration of what? To get closer to Allah Ta'ala. But in this Hadith Sharif, one is that aspiration that we are learning, but through what? This getting closer, such great rewards, all the amount of sadaqah won't be able to reach that reward. Through the simple kalimat, dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One of the things that are most highly underestimated, illa mashallah, most highly underestimated in terms of purifying the heart, developing that consciousness in the heart, connecting the heart with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, one of the most underestimated things in that regard is the zikr of Allah ta'ala. Either it's not done at all, and where it is done too often, not always, often as a routine, and very often, if it's missed, it doesn't matter. So it becomes a routine or just a habit. Whereas this is an extremely great aspect. And every home should be alive with the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. The zikr of Allah Ta'ala in all its various forms, whether it's tilawat of the Quran Sharif, there must be tilawat in every home daily. There must be time for zikr that each person in the home has got a dedicated time. MashaAllah, there's some program, we'll get together, we'll make some zikr, or some. But this is as part of ta'aleem that is done in this manner. It's meant to be taken along and become part of daily life. Now when the zikr comes alive, then it brings a person's entire life alive. Alive with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And otherwise, person forgets Allah Ta'ala. Now there are so many places where we forget Allah Ta'ala if the zikr is not alive. And then what happens? A person goes, now there are two different directions. The path of complete ghaflat, otherwise the path of zikr. Now for example, one is at the time, now just to touch on a few examples, at the time when a person has been blessed with some ni'mat, he's been blessed with some bounty. So what is the zikr of that moment? What is required at that time? At that time it is required that a person turns to Allah Ta'ala in genuine shukr and gratitude. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the lengthy incident which is in the Quran Sharif, this huge throne that this queen Bilqis had, so he asked from his gathering, who can bring that here now? I imagine there's some huge throne somewhere. Throne, we're not talking about like probably massive, bigger than this masjid. It's somewhere overseas. They're asking who can bring it here now, overseas. So one jinn first said, قَالَ عِفْرِيتٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِكَ. One jinn said, that you see this gathering is taking place now, before the gathering is over, so now the gathering might be another 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. Before the end of the gathering, it will be here. I'll go bring it. I'm going to bring it from overseas. Imagine somebody had this kind of courier company. So, Allah Ta'ala then says in the Quran Sharif, قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ. Another person in the gathering, this was a jinn, person in the gathering who Allah gave him the knowledge of the kitab, he said, أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَدَّ إِلَيْكَ طَرْفُكَ. What he's talking about is too long. This courier company outdated. I will bring it before you can blink an eye. And the next instant it was there. Now Sulaiman is a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala made this happen at the hands of somebody who is part of his ummah. فَلَمَّا رَآهُ مُسْتَقِرًا عِنْدَهُ قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. As soon as he sees this right there already, he says, this is the grace of my Rabb. Immediate turning to Allah ta'ala. And why Allah ta'ala has blessed me in this manner? That this blessing also, لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. That this is a test from Allah ta'ala. This is the message Quran Sharif is giving us. Remember, every ni'mat, every bounty, don't let it become a means of any pride, haughtiness, arrogance. Don't let it become a means of falling into the disobedience of Allah ta'ala. Because لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. This is a test. This bounty is a test from Allah ta'ala. Allah is testing me that am I grateful to Allah ta'ala or am I ungrateful? Grateful verbally and then grateful in how it is used. That it is used in the way that pleases Allah ta'ala. Or is it used against Allah's commands? Then that's ingratitude of the highest level. So Sulaiman salatu wasalam taught us this message, gave us this message and lesson. And the Quran Sharif is spelling it out to us, that those who are, their hearts are alive. This is that life now. When the heart is alive, then immediately on every ni'mat there's shukr. Person is eating, there's shukr on it. So many du'as of shukr. In the ahadith, there's more than 20 du'as. We sometimes know one or two only, and that one or two only, that two we forget to read. Alhamdulillah, الذي أطعمنا وسقانا وجعلنا مسلمين. That's the only du'a we probably know, or one or two others, and even that we often forget. And yet, if we look into the ahadith, there are so many du'as after eating that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited. And often, what was their food? At-tamaru wal-ma. They're surviving on dates and water. And all these du'as out of shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So now when the person's heart is alive with zikr, then shukr is a very important part of zikr. The shukr is also zikr. And if that shukr is not there, that zikr is not there, then the path of ghaflat, like Qarun. And Qarun now, Allah Ta'ala says that we gave him these huge treasures, so much of wealth, that even the keys, just the keys alone, it would require a whole group of strong men to carry the keys of the treasures. So now so much of wealth Allah gave him, what was his reaction to it? قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I did this. This is my expertise. I applied my mind. This is all my intelligence and mind and I. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. Complete ingratitude to Allah Ta'ala. No recognition of the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Complete forgetfulness, unmindfulness. So now this became the means of his, what was the outcome? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ Got swallowed up into the earth eventually. Because his ghaflat went on and on and on. And this was the outcome of the ghaflat. So now the zikr is sometimes just taken as one of those things. But it's something to check how much such an important aspect repeated so often in the Quran Sharif. أُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Tilawat, salah, and that salah refrains from all kinds of immorality and evil. And Allah says, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ And the remembrance of Allah, this is the greatest thing. This is what's going to bring life in everything. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ Allah says this creation of the heavens and earth and this alternating of day and night. All this is signs for who? For the intelligent. Now the intelligent, if we are asked to define intelligence, Allah knows best where we'll finish off. The Quran Sharif didn't leave it to us. Allah then defined who are the intelligent ones. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ They are those who remember Allah Ta'ala standing, قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا sitting, even reclining. Subhanallah. Allah made zikr so easy that it is possible almost all the time. Person has gone to answer the call of nature, obviously he can't make zikr there. There are certain specific places and times. Other than that, all the time zikr, Allah made it so easy because this is like the oxygen. Water, you have to go fetch it in the well. You have to find it somewhere. Oxygen, you can't afford to go look for it somewhere. You need it all the time. Allah Ta'ala made the zikr, the oxygen for our spiritual hearts, available to us all the time. To the extent that it is not even a precondition, though very much better, but not even a precondition that a person has to be in the state of taharat to be able to make zikr. He can't make tilawat at that time. But zikr is even permissible then. But this is unfortunately so neglected that days will go past and we didn't take the name of Allah Ta'ala. We didn't have a dedicated time to make istighfar, to recite Durood Sharif and Salawat on Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now, this is a time, this is what the difference comes. When a person has dhikr in his heart, the heart is alive with dhikr, then there's a ni'mat, he'll remember Allah Ta'ala, he'll make shukr. And if there's no zikr in the heart is not alive, he'll go down the path of Qarun. And he'll start making big claims about himself. Then another example, depending on whether there's zikr or ghaflat, becomes a crucial situation at the time of shahwat, when a person is tempted by all the lust and all the things that drag him away towards shaitan. When a person has that zikr in his heart is alive, then he'll go down the path of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are embodiments of zikr. So now the incident is well known how the wife of the Aziz of Misr, the minister of Egypt, how she tried to now, he was brought up in that house, and how she tried to trap him into sin. And when all the arrangements were made, and the situation was extremely, well, everything set up, and a situation where they say when the mud is thick, even elephants can slip. Normally an elephant, such a sturdy animal, such big, thick legs it has, so it walks through mud and all that without any effort. But if the mud is very thick, and even an elephant can slip. Now this was that kind of situation where the mud was super thick. Meaning it can drop anybody. Illa mashallah. And in this situation, what was his response? Ala ma'adallah. When the zikr was, obviously the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam embodiments But when the zikr is alive, that cannot happen if the heart is devoid of zikr. It won't happen. Then that person will become a morsel of shaitan and nafs at that time. So now this is taken as a secondary thing, as a by the way thing, but when the moment comes, then the reality then strikes that how this happened, how it happened because the heart was dead, how everything just collapsed because the heart was dead, there was no spiritual energy in it. So he immediately turned to Allah Ta'ala, number one, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ, remembering Allah Ta'ala, seeking Allah Ta'ala's protection. And then another big lesson, إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. How can I do this? How can it ever be possible to take one step in this direction? إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. There are different explanations of this, tafsirs of it. But one clear meaning of this is, my Rabb has made my abode so good, given me so much of His bounties and ni'mats. When zikr is alive, shukr is alive, there'll be haya, there'll be shame in the heart. Then how can I disobey that benefactor, that Rabb of mine, who showered all these ni'mats upon me? And now I must just go and blatantly disobey Him. When zikr is alive, then this haya will be alive, the shame in front of Allah Ta'ala. And if zikr dies, then all, when water is not no more on the land, and the land has become parched, then everything all disappears. The only thing that gets left there is some thorny weeds that can only do harm, can only cause some problem, difficulty to somebody passing by. Can't benefit anyone in any way. So the zikr brings the, that's the moment when a person that got that zikr in his heart, then like in the Hadith Sharif, that zikr, the seven categories of people that are promised the shade of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, a time when people will be drowning in their perspiration. وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ ذَاتُ حَسَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. That a person has been invited towards haram by a woman of beauty and high lineage. Despite all that, his reaction is, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. Allah is watching. Allah is aware. I can't take the step in this direction. Allah is watching. When this will be possible? It will be possible when that zikr is alive in the heart. Then he'll remember Allah at that moment. And otherwise, if that zikr is missing in the heart is dead, devoid of that remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, at that time he'll forget everything. He'll forget he's a married man, he'll forget his children might, whatever, anything and everything he'll forget. He'll forget akhirat, he'll forget dunya also. That temptation will come to press buttons on that phone. Then if that zikr is alive in the heart, in reality, he'll say, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. Allah is aware. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Where can I hide from Allah Ta'ala? I can try and duck behind passwords from people, but where can I hide from Allah Ta'ala? And that zikr is alive, that haya will be alive. Then how can I be so shameless? Do I think Allah is not aware? And now after Allah's bounty is, that energy out of that food Allah gave me, that energy came into my eyes, and now I must misuse it in this manner. That energy came in these fingers out of the ni'mats and bounties of Allah Ta'ala, I must press haram buttons, haya will come alive. From where? From zikr. Another aspect that, when that zikr is missing in the heart, then a person forgets Allah Ta'ala, when he has some upper hand, he has some might, some authority, forgets Allah Ta'ala. There's one incident in the Hadith Sharif, Abu Mas'ud Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, and many of these incidents, the very Sahaba who were the people with whom it occurred, they used to repeatedly mention this. I did this. Meaning, I did this and I learned such a great lesson. They themselves would teach it, explain it, because they learned this lesson. They obviously came new and they went through this learning process and they submitted themselves for the whole ummah to learn. So Abu Mas'ud Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an, he was whooping his slave. In the times of Jahiliyat, There was no concern about that this too is an insan, he's a human being. There was slavery at that time. Islam came and taught the rights of human beings. Human rights the world talks about, but that's all just lip service that the rest of the world talks about. Human rights Islam gave. So in any case, he says, I was lashing the slave, and then from the behind somewhere, I heard somebody saying, I'lam Aba Mas'ud. So he said, I didn't immediately recognize the voice. Then after a while, I realized it was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's approaching me, and he's repeatedly saying, I'lam Aba Mas'ud. I'lam Aba Mas'ud. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came closer, he says, I dropped that whip out of my hand immediately. He says, remember, أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَقْدَرُ عَلَيْكَ بِنْكَ عَلَىٰ هَذَا الْعَبْدِ. Remember very well, Allah has greater power over you and greater authority and might over you than what you have over the slave. You think you're going to get away with this now? Because he can't take any revenge from you. He can't retaliate. He can't do anything. So he's down and out. You can do as you please. Remember, you have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala. And Qiyamah, that is obvious. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala's whoop cracks in dunya also. When a person persists and he doesn't take heed, then Allah forbid, sometimes it cracks in dunya also. So now, person who has that zikr of Allah Ta'ala in his heart, he's conscious of Allah Ta'ala, then he will be mindful that Allah has great power over everything. Allah is most powerful. Allah is almighty. And regardless of what might I might have, what power I might have, what financial status and what position I might have, what kind of political position I might have, anything and everything, I'm still that weak insan. I'm still so weak that small little mosquito comes and sits and bites me, I'll be parishan. That's how weak I am. I just exert myself a little bit, and if I perspire, I'll start giving off an odor. That's my reality. What I'm proud about. What was my beginning and what's going to be my end? What can I be proud about? But if that zikr is alive in the heart, then this consciousness will come. On what basis can I be proud of anything? This is how weak I am. I can't even protect myself from that mosquito biting me. I can't even protect myself from the odor of my own body. And so many things that makes me so totally weak and restless, that if I just have the urge to relieve myself, and I don't have a place to go and do it immediately, I become like a fish out of water. That's how weak this insan is. And yet he's so proud about himself. But when the zikr is alive, then all these things will be, the consciousness will be there. I need to submit myself humbly to Allah Ta'ala. I am just a humble slave of Allah Ta'ala. What basis I have to be proud over anything? But all this comes from the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. So time has already passed. The bottom line is, and the message and the lesson is, we have to make dedicated time for zikr. And do it in a very conscious manner. Our homes must be alive with zikr. Tilawat of the Quran Sharif. So many issues and so many problems. Domestic issues and other issues. And bring zikr alive. And this will open the door to everything. It will open the door to that peace within the home. It will open the door to the peace within our hearts. It will open the door to so many things. Let us become conscious of Allah Ta'ala. When this comes alive, then the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, this is the goal. That the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, the goal is the total obedience of Allah Ta'ala. When the person is truly conscious of Allah Ta'ala, then وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. He doesn't concern himself about who is going to say what. My Allah must be pleased. Whether it is a funeral, whether it is a wedding, whether it is something to do with his business, whether it is something in his home, my Allah must be pleased. That is the bottom line. That is the ultimate goal. When that will come? When the consciousness of Allah is in the heart. And what will create that consciousness? The zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In all the different dimensions of zikr, time has passed. We don't have time to get into those details. But these are things we hear of time and again. It's just a little reminder for myself, for all of us, to bring the zikr of Allah Ta'ala alive in our hearts, in our homes, in our lives, and to spread this message of zikr. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make zikr for a few minutes, inshallah.
رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهل. لا إله إلا الله، 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah Sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka ash-shukru kulluhu اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا راحم المساكين يا أرحم الراحمين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين إله العالمين يا الله most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all our media and minor sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive the ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إله العالمين يا الله شو يا مغفرة الأمة يا الله شو يا رحمة الأمة يا الله إله العالمين make us your obedient and loyal servants يا الله يا الله make us those in whose hearts your ذكر is alive يا الله إله العالمين fill our hearts with your remembrance يا الله يا الله remove us from غفلة يا الله remove us from every level of غفلة يا الله make us among the ذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات يا الله إله العالمين يا الله يا الله grant us all the beautiful and noble qualities يا الله bless us with all the صفات of إيمان Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove all the evil qualities from our lives, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us among those, Ya Allah, whom you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the actions that earn your displeasure, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, grant us the beautiful akhlaq of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with these beautiful mu'amalat and mu'asharat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, bless us with the zeal of ibadat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, enable us to perform our 5 times salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah. With tabbir ula, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, with khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, put the importance of salah in our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us a tawfiq of making tilawat of the Quran Sharif daily in abundance, Ya Allah. Enable us to be forever in your dhikr, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from ghaflat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah.
Wherever any Muslim is, Ya Allah, grant each one afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Allah, remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one afiyat in every matter, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Our brothers and sisters of Palestine, of Gaza especially, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. You shower your special rahmat on them, Ya Allah. Shower your special rahmat on them, Ya Allah. Special karam and fazal, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, remove their difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Strengthen them against their enemies, Ya Allah. Allah, make them victorious over their enemies, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, you help them with your ghaybi nusrat, Ya Allah. Allahumma ayyidhum bita'yidik. اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك اللهم كن لهم معينا ونصيرا اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف إله العالمين يا الله grant us and the entire ummah the tawfiq of those amal that bring down your rahmat يا الله save us and the entire ummah from such actions that bring down azab يا الله يا الله إله العالمين يا الله all those who are sick give them شفاء كاملة عاجلة Mustamirra da'ima. Remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Whatever difficulty and hardship anybody is in, Ya Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant barakat in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from every drop and grain of haram and doubtful things, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our greatest need is to become yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you become ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all who have raised their hands to this dua, all have asked us to make dua for them. Ya Allah, fulfill each one's jais needs and pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us your true and obedient servants, Ya Allah. Make us the true ummatis of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, cleanse our hearts, cleanse our lives. Ya Allah, from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Cleanse our homes from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Make us the true ummatis that follow in the Mubarak footsteps of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all that we have asked for, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. What we should have been asking for, Ya Allah, grant us that as well, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri masta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله